Yom Yerushalayim and Bamidbar. OU Israel presents...
In. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. And this show is for Parshat Bamidbar, but also for Yom Yerushalayim. Recording and first broadcast is Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 27th of Iyar 5769. That makes it Eve, Erev, Yom Yerushalayim. Tonight, tomorrow, the 28th of Iyar is Yom Yerushalayim. Last night we counted 42 of the Omer, which made it a double mitzvah of counting 6 full weeks as well as 42 days. On the secular calendar, it is May 21st. Even though the show is for Bamidbar, we will speak mostly about Yerushalayim, Yom Yerushalayim, and all things connected to it, and then I hope to have a punchline which will focus on Bamidbar, or specifically the juxtaposition of Yom Yerushalayim and Bamidbar. But first, Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph, Psalm 121, because it is already in the afternoon before Yom Yerushalayim, and following our tradition, when we don't say Tachanun at Mincha, we say Shir Lama'alot Esa'inai, rather than Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim. Psalm 121. Shir Lama'alot Esa'inai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hine Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha Adonai Tzilecha Al Yad Yiminecha. Yomam Hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela l'ora u'mishibud l'gu'ula. Hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Let's do Achenu one more time, this time to the music of Yehuda from his album Eftach Pi B'Shira, the track Achenu.
Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim batzara uvashivya. Haimdim, haimdim bein bayam, uvein bayabasha. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim batzara uvashivya. Yeah. tzara lirvacha. Umeyafela liyayra mishibur ligula. Hashta bagala uvizman kahari. Hamakai mirachem aleihem V'yaitzi emi tzavra lirvacha U'meyafeinu liayra mishivun ligula Hashta bagala uvizman kahari.
Ago, the Six-Day War broke out on Monday, June 5th, the 26th of Iyar. On the third day of the war, Jerusalem was reconquered by the Israel Defense Forces, and that day marks the reunification of Jerusalem. Subsequently, the Knesset decided to designate that date to commemorate not just the reunification of Jerusalem, but the dazzling victory of the Six-Day War. The following day, on the fourth day of the war, it's celebrated as Yom Chevron, and there are various and sundry celebrations throughout this period. Now, I have this idea that really didn't hit me till this year, that perhaps whoever decided to name the day Yom Yerushalayim made perhaps a tactical error. What results from it all of these years, and as time goes on, I would say even more so, is that Yom Yerushalayim in Israel is perceived as a local celebration by Jerusalem. People who feel like making the trip to Yerushalayim will come in for the day to see the parade and to hear the music and to participate in the celebration and the commemoration. But there isn't much done outside of Yerushalayim, which I believe is chaval. It's a sad turn of events, because Yom Yerushalayim should be the celebration, the annual celebration of our salvation, redemption, victory in the Six-Day War, which was basically as great as Purim or Chanukah, in the sense that we were faced by annihilation. Nasser, president of Egypt at the time, was rattling his sabers, was doing acts of war. He closed the Straits of Tiran to the passage of Israeli ships and ships bound for Israel, which is an act of war. And his plan was to destroy the state of Israel and to drive all of the Jews into the sea. That was the expression that was used at the time. The Jews of Tel Aviv and the city of Tel Aviv was threatened as much, if not more, than those of Jerusalem and all of the country. This was a concerted effort on the part of the Arab world, spearheaded by Egypt and Syria. Egypt on the southern front, Syria on the northern front. They coerced Jordan to join them on the eastern front, which was probably the biggest mistake that the king of Jordan ever made, but it worked to our advantage. He was told by Israel, stay out and we won't touch you. He had no choice but to come into the war, and the rest is history, or is still continuing history. The Egyptian Air Force was destroyed before a single plane left the ground. Miracle upon miracle, God's hand helping IDF Tzahal to prevent a destruction of the state of Israel and the people of Israel. That's what we should be celebrating, and therefore every Jew in Israel and every Jew around the world should be celebrating Yom Yerushalayim, or whatever you want to call it, and not see it as some special celebration of Jerusalem, which, of course, Jews all over Israel and all over the world feel very special about. But this is more than that. We'll get back to that momentarily, but on the other hand, there is a focus on Yerushalayim. And something that I've done most years on this occasion, and I'm going to do it again, is read a letter to the world from Jerusalem. To the best of my recollection, this was first published as an editorial or an op-ed in a now-defunct newspaper that attempted to compete with the Jerusalem Post, another English-language newspaper called the Times of Israel. I don't know how long it lasted, but it lasted long enough so that in August of 1969, this editorial appeared as a letter to the world from Jerusalem. It was written by a man named Eliezer Wartman, a gentleman who lives in a senior citizen's residence in Ramat Eshkol to this day. I will mention that he's an avid reader of Torah Tidbits, and this week's Torah Tidbits carries the letter, which was signed Eliezer Ben Yisrael, but he was the one who wrote it, a veteran journalist. And I find that except for a couple of little tiny points, the letter is as powerful and as appropriate today as it was 40 years ago. If you haven't heard it, listen carefully. If you've heard it, listen again. If you already know it by heart because you've listened so many times, say it along with me. But it is something that I consider to be like a booster shot that every Yerushalmi and every Israeli and every Jew needs every year to to read this again, especially in the climate now of the very outspoken and clear position that President Obama has taken on the various issues here. This is not just about Jerusalem. It's about the whole of Israel, but it's in the form of a letter to the world from Jerusalem by Eliezer ben Yisrael. I am not a creature from another planet, as you seem to believe. I am a Jerusalemite, like yourselves, a man of flesh and blood. I am a citizen of my city, an integral part of my people. I have a few things to get off my chest. Because I am not a diplomat, I do not have to mince words. I do not have to please you or even persuade you. I owe you nothing. You did not build this city, you did not live in it, you did not defend it when they came to destroy it, and we will be damned if we will let you take it away. There was a Jerusalem before there was a New York, when Berlin, Moscow, London, and Paris were miasmal forest and swamp. There was a thriving Jewish community here. It gave something to the world which you nations have rejected ever since you established yourselves, a humane moral code. Here the prophets walked, their words flashing like forked lightning. Here a people who wanted nothing more than to be left alone, fought off waves of heathen would-be conquerors, bled and died on the battlements, hurled themselves into the flames of their burning temple, rather than surrender. And when finally overwhelmed by sheer numbers and led away into captivity, swore that before they forgot Jerusalem, they would see their tongues cleave to their palates, their right arms wither. For two pain-filled millennia, while we were your unwelcomed guests, we prayed daily to return to this city. Three times a day we petitioned the Almighty, gather us from the four corners of the world, bring us upright to our land. Return in mercy to Jerusalem, thy city, and dwell in it as thou promised. On every Yom Kippur and Passover, we fervently voice the hope that next year would find us in Jerusalem. Your inquisitions, pogroms, expulsions, the ghettos into which you jammed us, your forced baptisms, your quota systems, your genteel anti-Semitism, and the final unspeakable horror, the Holocaust, and worse, your terrifying disinterest in it, all these have not broken us. They may have sapped what little moral strength you still possessed, but they forged us into steel. Do you think that you could break us now after all we have been through? Do you really believe that after Dachau and Auschwitz, we are frightened by your threats of blockades and sanctions? We have been to hell and back, a hell of your making. What more can you possibly have in your arsenal that could scare us? I have watched this city bombarded twice by nations calling themselves civilized. In 1948, while you looked on apathetically, I saw women and children blown to smithereens. After we agreed to your request to internationalize the city, it was a deadly combination that did the job. British officers, Arab gunners, and American-made cannons. And then the savage sacking of the old city, the willful slaughter, the wanton destruction of every synagogue and religious school, the desecration of Jewish cemeteries, the sale by a ghoulish government of tombstones for building materials, for poultry runs, army camps, even latrines. And you never said a word. You never breathed the slightest protest when the Jordanians shut off the holiest of our places, the Western Wall, in violation of the pledges they had made after the war, a war they waged, incidentally, against the decision of the United Nations. Not a murmur came from you whenever the legionnaires in their spiked helmets casually opened fire upon our citizens from behind the walls. Your hearts bled when Berlin came under siege. You rushed your airlift to save the gallant Berliners, but you did not send 1 ounce of food when Jews starved in besieged Jerusalem. You thundered against the wall that the East Germans ran through the middle of the German capital, but not one peep out of you about that other wall, the one that tore through the heart of Jerusalem. And when the same thing happened 20 years later, and the Arabs unleashed a savage, unprovoked bombardment of the holy city again, did any of you do anything? The only time you came to life was when the city was at last reunited. Then you wrung your hands and spoke loftily of justice and the need for the Christian quality of turning the other cheek. The truth is, and you know it deep inside your gut, you would prefer the city to be destroyed rather than have it governed by Jews. No matter how diplomatically you phrase it, the age-old prejudices seep out of every word. If our return to the city has tied your theology in knots, perhaps you had better re-examine your catechisms. After what we have been through, we are not passively going to accommodate ourselves to the twisted idea that we are to suffer eternal homelessness until we accept your Savior. For the first time since the year 70, there is now complete religious freedom for all in Jerusalem. For the first time since the Romans put a torch to the temple, everyone has equal rights. You prefer to have some more equal than others. We loathe the sword, but it was you who forced us to take it up. We crave peace, but we are not going back to the peace of 1948 as you would like us to. We are home. It has a lovely sound for a nation you have willed to wander over the face of the globe. We are not leaving. We are redeeming the pledge made by our forefathers. Jerusalem is being rebuilt. Next year, and the year after, and after, and after, until the end of time, in Jerusalem.
Yerushalayim shel zahav v'shel nechoshet v'shel or halo lechol shirayich ani kino. Yerushalayim shel zahav v'shel nechoshet v'shel or halo lechol shirayich ani.
Rod Sterling, you're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
That's the letter. Let me add personally that what the letter said about Jerusalem goes for part of Jerusalem, for any part of Jerusalem. And that is the rub of today. No one seriously is suggesting, no one outside the Arab world, is seriously suggesting that Jews not be in Yerushalayim, but they are looking to divide it, to share sovereignty, and God forbid that should happen. Jerusalem must remain the undivided capital, heart, and soul of Israel and the Jewish people. If we accept and tolerate non-Jews living in Jerusalem, it is still a Jewish city in a Jewish state, and because we are that kind of people, we will not expel other people who live here, but they have to live with us in peace, under our sovereignty. I recently purchased a 2-disc collection called Dudu Fisher Israeli Celebration. I would like to play the track of Me'al Piskat Har HaTzofim, one of the songs very much tied to Jerusalem and very much used and sung and played around Yom Yerushalayim. The English translation of the words read as follows. From the peak of Mount Scopus, I will prostrate myself to you on my face from the peak of Mount Scopus. Peace to you, Jerusalem. 100 generations I dreamed of you to merit to see the light of your face. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, shine your face to your son. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I will build you from your ruins. From the peak of Mount Scopus, peace to you, Jerusalem. Thousands of exiles from the corners of the entire world lift their eyes to you. You are blessed with thousands of blessings, the king's temple, the capital city. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I won't budge from here. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, let Mashiach come already, let him come. Me'al Piskat Har HaTzofim, Dudu Fisher.
Me'al Piskat Har HaTzofim, Shtachavelach Apayim. Me'al Piskat Har HaTzofim, Shalom lach Yerushalayim. Me'adot chalamti alayich, Lizkot lirot be'opanayich. Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Panayich livnech Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, mechovotayich evnech me'al piskat har hatzofim. Tevel noskim elayich einayim be'alfei berachot hayi bucha mikdash melech ir melucha.
At the end of the first half of the show, right after the letter to the world from Jerusalem, you heard a 20-second clip of Dudu Fisher singing the refrain from Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. I don't know if we'll have time to play the whole piece, but he does a nice job, what can I tell you? I don't know if you could tell the way I'm recording this show, I am able to pause the recording, which I had to do several times during the letter to the world from Jerusalem, since I get choked up every time I read it. I've been reading it for years and years and years, and it never fails to choke me up. That's the whole point here. We're talking about Jerusalem as an actual real city with people living here. We're talking about Jerusalem as the actual capital of the state of Israel. But we're talking about a Yerushalayim that is the heart and soul of all of Israel, of all the Jewish people, as it has been for thousands of years. And it must be seen, at least by us, in that perspective, to understand why we would be so adamant that it must remain united and exclusively under Jewish sovereignty. Now, I believe that this needs to be expanded to all of Israel. Jerusalem by itself, even if you'll call it the heart, can't survive without the rest of the body. And the body in which the heart is Jerusalem is the land of Israel and the state of Israel. Jumping back to a point that was made in that letter to the world, it has to be seen with clear eyes and a clear mind. What happened with Yerushalayim? From 1948 until 1967, for 19 years, Jews were denied access to the Western Wall, to the Kotel. For that period of time, there was no Jewish presence in an important part of Jerusalem. Comes 1967, comes the successful victory of Tzahal, IDF, and it didn't turn the whole thing opposite. It didn't become, now the Jews are here and we deny access to Arabs. Even more than that, we gave them, against my better judgment, although I wasn't consulted, we gave them the position of authority on the Temple Mount, which put them in an upper hand to Israel, even though one of the most powerful sound bites of the Six-Day War was Har Habayit Biyadenu, the Temple Mount is in our hands. Shortly after the war, the keys to the Temple Mount, literally and figuratively, were given over to the Islamic Religious Council, the Waqf. And Jewish presence on Har Habayit, on the Temple Mount, is and has been minimal. And even the fact that some religious Jews go onto the Temple Mount, officially they're not allowed to pray there. If they do, they sneak a private prayer without getting caught, certainly to join together and form a minyan to pray on Har Habayit, is not allowed, not just by the Waqf, but Israel cooperated with the Waqf and forbids it, and a person could get arrested, or a minyan could get arrested if they try to daven on the Temple Mount, which is a ludicrous situation, but that's for another discussion. And Muslims are free to exercise their prayers and their activities on Har Habayit and throughout Yerushalayim. They have more of a freedom around the city than a Jew does. A Muslim, an Arab, can get on to any Jerusalem bus without fear of any sort. And you go on to bus lines, and many of them have many, many Arab passengers. I don't think that a Jew can feel comfortable, and that's putting it mildly, getting onto a bus, an Arab bus. So what Israel did was have this glowing success in 67 and tolerated to an extreme the Arab presence in Jerusalem and all over Israel, to the point where we bent over backwards sometimes to our disadvantage in order to allow the Arab population to continue living here. The conditions of the Arab population in Israel is far better since 67 than it was before 67 under Jordanian rule, or in Gaza under Egyptian rule, or in the Golan under Syrian rule. And the world just ignores this completely, but the Jewish world may not ignore it. We must be able to stand up even to the pressure of a president of the United States and say, this is our reality, this is our country, this is our city, and we will not go along with your pressuring and your demands to share the sovereignty of this city, and we shouldn't do it to any part of this country. Eretz Yisrael is small enough compared to the Arab world or even on objective standards, and to slice it and dice it is is suicidal. I go back and say, this is what Yerushalayim should mean. Yom Yerushalayim should not be merely Jerusalem Day. It should be a day of awareness and recognition and celebration and thanks to God for the stunning victory. You could even use a Dayenu kind of thing. If God had just saved the Jewish people from destruction in 1967, Dayenu, there would be sufficient cause to thank God that he did it in a six-day period is even more so. And that would be more than sufficient to thank God. But that all other things clicked into place, and we have to examine why for the last 42 years we have failed in some cases to take that gift from God and use it properly. Hebron, Ma'arat HaMachpelah, should be Jewish sovereignty. There are Jews who live there. There are Jews who live in Kiryat Arba. There are lots of Arabs. And if they behave, they should be allowed to stay. If they're hostile, they shouldn't be allowed. I mean, this is something that I can say and other people can say, and it's just not happening. The history of non-Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael when the Jews had sovereignty was one of acquiescence to the Jewish sovereignty. A non-Jew, Muslim, Christian, or what have you, who wants to live within the borders of the land of Israel, in the Holy Land, in the state of Israel, has to recognize that there's a state of Israel, has to recognize that it's a Jewish state, that it has to not be hostile to that entity. Otherwise, you're not welcome here. And the fact that you've been here since last century does not really cut it when it comes to the history that we have with Eretz Yisrael. When I see the protesters of the women in black nearby to the center here, carrying the placards, Die le Kibush, enough of the occupation, I want to join them, just with the addition of enough of the occupation by Muslims and Arabs of Eretz Yisrael, of Jewish land. I want to make a fanciful connection or statement related to Yom Yerushalayim, followed by Parshat Bamidbar, followed by Shavuot, which is 1 week from now. Yom Yerushalayim, let's say, represents, and if you add Yom Ha'atzma'ut earlier in the month of Iyar, the two of them together represent our return to Eretz Yisrael, our reunification of Yerushalayim, our major significant steps of modern times to come out of the exile and return to the land of Israel. There is a fork in the road in front of us. In one direction, you have Bamidbar, wandering in the wilderness, which is a representation of exile, continued wandering. no matter how wonderful the Jewish communities are throughout the world, they are still in exile. The place where Jews belong, the place where Jewish life belongs, the place where Torah belongs, is the land of Israel, not Bamidbar. But the other branch of the fork leads to Shavuot. Shavuot is not just Zman Matan Toratenu, the time of the receiving of the Torah. It is also Yom HaBikurim, which represents coming to Eretz Yisrael with a Beit HaMikdash, a holy temple, and all practices and mitzvot of the Torah being observed here. That's our choice. We have started on that road with Yom HaAtzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim, and may we continue out of the Midbar, out of exile, to Eretz Yisrael, to Medinat Yisrael, under Jewish sovereignty, which will lead us to Binyan Beit HaMikdash and Biat HaMashiach B'mehera V'yameinu. On that note, I wish you a special Yom Yerushalayim, a Shabbat Shalom, a Chodesh Tov. Rosh Chodesh is Sunday. We didn't have chance to speak about that at all. Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And right after that, Shavuot. Hopefully next week's show will be dedicated to Shavuot. And we should be privileged to see in our time all of this coming together, Eretz Yisrael, La'am Yisrael, Al Pi Torat Yisrael, Lehish Tameah. Yeah.